there. Welcome to the show. It's Gary Zimek. Today is Thursday, October the 26th, and we got a great show for you today. We're going to look at the mass readings from Thursday of the 29th week in ordinary time. And also, we're going to continue our look at the Catechism. Yesterday, we explored the idea that we can understand, we can get to know God through natural reason. And today, we're going to explain a little bit more about that as we continue our walk through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. A couple of quick notes. Number one, I will not be doing a show tomorrow, so don't panic. I've got, it's my daughter's, Mary and Elizabeth's birthday, so we're doing some special things for the birthday. I'm going to just take tomorrow off because it would be too difficult to get the show done in time. So I apologize in advance for that, but we'll be back, God willing, Monday with another show. And then the other piece of news that I'd like to actually request, if you could, if you wouldn't mind, I would ask for your prayers because there's some things going on that present a challenge for me right now. If you would pray for me, I would really appreciate that. You've always been there for me, and I know that your prayers are powerful. So right now, a couple extra prayers would really help me, and I thank you in advance for that. Speaking of prayer, let's pray together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we turn to you today, and we thank you for loving us with an unconditional and infinite love. Father, help us to get to know you better. Help us to trust you more. Help us to be able to hear you speak and guide us so that we know your will for our lives. Father, help us with our problems, whatever they may be. We ask you to help us. We ask you to help us to be able to deal with whatever comes our way. We ask you to help us with the challenges, the difficulties. Maybe we're suffering from an illness right now. We ask you to heal us and grant us the strength that we need to go forward. Father, please help those who are lonely, those who are suffering with anxiety, those who are physically ill, those who are on the verge of despair, those who might be dealing with doubt, those who are battling addictions, those who are trying to overcome certain sins. Please help them all. We ask you to bring about peace in the world. We ask you to bless our priests, our religious, and our deacons. We ask you to increase vocations. And I ask you to speak through me on the program today. Please give me the words so that your message can go forth on the airwaves on this program. Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, you ready to get started? Ready to look at these readings? The Gospel today, well, both readings are powerful, but the Gospel is especially I want to say brutal. It can be a little brutal. We are getting into the period of the church year where the messages are tough. The messages are not easy coming from the Lord. And he's reminding us about some harsh realities. You know, it's basically this. Are you with me or are you against me? And those who are not for me are by default against me. Tough message. You know, one of the things that I have discovered is that Christianity, when done right, and I'm not sure how right I do it, but when done right, is very difficult. And again, I'm not sure how right I do it. I'm not sure how good of a Christian I am. But all I know is that now, the closer I've gotten to the Lord, and the more I try to follow his will for my life, and the more I try to listen to him, man, is it tough. But he's always there. You know, that's the thing. He's got us on the verge oftentimes of total panic. You know, at least somebody like me who tends to be an anxious person, he's got us like right on the brink of panic sometimes. And I think that's, if you're going through this in your life right now, you might be looking at something that you are just ready to lose your mind, you're panicked, you don't know how you're going to get out of this. I think that's where he really meets us. And that's where that type of situation has a lot of opportunity for us to grow close to him. So don't lose hope. Whatever you're facing, don't lose hope. Know that Jesus loves you. Know that he is with you wherever you go. Know that you have the Eucharist and you get tremendous graces out of the Eucharist. Know that the sacrament of confession can bring you tremendous graces too. He is not leaving you alone and he wants to help you. So please turn to him today and pray for the grace to go on, even if it looks dark. A lot of times it looks dark, but it doesn't mean that it is. That's my little editorial message for today. Beverage du jour today, just a glass of water. Going simple. A quick reminder to you, though, if you're looking for some great coffee, I'm going to be placing an order soon. Mystic Monk Coffee, the best coffee you will ever drink, brewed by real monks, authentic Catholic monks, passionate about fine coffee. You've got to check this out. Mystic Monk Coffee, the best place to get it is at followingthetruth.com. When you buy it through my website, you help my ministry too. And boy, I sure could use it right about now. So if you want to purchase some Mystic Monk Coffee through my website, I would be very grateful for that. In addition, remember, when you go to the website, followingthetruth.com, if you click on support, you'll be able to support me either by becoming a monthly sponsor, which, again, is very much needed right now. I'm putting this at the start of the show today because it's critical. It really is. So that would be very much needed. Or if you want to make a one-time donation, you know how much I would appreciate that. But please, above all, keep me in your prayers right now. That would help tremendously. And also remember, do not put yourself in any financial jeopardy to help me. The Lord wants you to pay your bills. He does. So don't think that you're supposed to help me and put yourself in jeopardy. It doesn't work that way. So make sure you remember that. All right, let's take a look at the Mass readings. Today we look at the Mass readings from Thursday of the 29th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading is from the, once again, from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 19 through 23. Brothers and sisters, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your nature. For just as you presented the parts of your bodies as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness for lawlessness, so now present them as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. But what profit did you get then from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit that you have leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word slavery, that word slave, it really gets people spun up. It gets it's a bad connotation. St. Louis de Montfort uses that phrase, that word as well. Don't let the word distract you from the message. What he's saying here is that before you turn to him, if you try to live life on your own without Christ in your life, you could easily become a slave of sin, meaning you don't have the power to overcome your sinfulness. Essentially, if you take it to the max, you don't have the ability to get to heaven by yourself. Once you have Christ, once you're baptized into the church and you get the grace given to you by Christ through his church, then you're able to one day live in heaven. You're also able to overcome your sinfulness. But it's not something that necessarily happens overnight. It's something that that takes time. It takes time. It doesn't happen, you go to bed one night, you wake up, and all of a sudden you're never going to sin again. You're always going to have that tendency to sin. It's because of our fallen human nature. But if you continue to work with the Lord, if you go to confession frequently, if you receive the Eucharist frequently, right, then you're going to be able, it'll be easier for you to overcome that sin. So essentially what you want to do, and again, St. Louis de Montfort talks about a servant works for his master, but he gets some sort of recompense. He gets some sort of pay. But a slave, on the other hand, works for no pay. He'll still get a pay. You know, he'll still get taken care of by his master, but essentially you're not expecting anything in return. That's the relationship you want to have with the Lord. Again, don't let that word get you upset. You hear the word slavery, and it automatically freaks you out. Understand, when you become a slave of the Lord, you do everything for him without expecting anything in return. What you get in return is peace, you get grace, you get eternal life. I mean, you get a lot in return, but you want to have that relationship that you don't expect anything. It's a fine point, but it's one that needs to be addressed. Sin has no control over you. You may fall into sin, but you are not completely helpless. You've been given grace. You can get grace from the Lord to be able to overcome whatever sin that you're facing. I have had sins in my life, and again, I'm a work in progress. There are some sins, many sins I'm still working on, but there have been some pretty serious sins in the past that I have really struggled with, that I have been able, I don't want to say to conquer. That's never a good idea, to think that I can never commit that again. Yes, I could. I could always. As long as I'm alive, I could go back to some of my favorite sins, but I've seen progress. How about that? We'll leave it at that. I've seen progress. That's due to the power of Jesus Christ. Psalm 1, blessed are they who hope in the Lord. That's the responsorial psalm. Put your hope in the Lord. You know, the world's going to tell you you're crazy to put your hope in the Lord. You are foolish to trust him. You know what? He's all we got. He's the best deal in town. He really is. He's trustworthy. He's got an incredible history. And if you've ever been at that point where you're standing on the edge of the cliff, all right, and the Lord's saying, all right, I need you to take another step, then you get it. That is an incredibly scary place to be. It's an incredibly scary place to be, but it's at that moment that you're going to grow exponentially in faith. It's the moment where Abraham was asked to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, and he said, okay. And then it all worked out because he was stopped. Are you willing to trust that much so that you hope in the Lord? Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. He's like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes. Happy the man who puts his hope in the Lord. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that even when it doesn't appear to be a good decision? You know, I can so relate. Believe me, I can really relate to this. There have been so many times when it just didn't seem like a smart thing to do to put my hope in the Lord. But, you know, he has come through for me so many times. My girls celebrate their 20th birthday tomorrow. My daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, they were never supposed to be born alive. They were given a 10% chance to be born alive. And I remember the hopeless feeling. Remember the hopeless feeling when we'd go to the doctors when my wife Eileen was pregnant and we'd have many ups and downs. Would walk out of there in tears sometimes. Go over to the hospital chapel, and kneel down before the Lord. And I remember this was at Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Camden, New Jersey, and we looked up in the chapel and over the sanctuary above the altar were the words, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's from Matthew 11:28. And I remember clinging to those words, saying, Lord, I'm tired. I'm really tired, Lord. I need your rest. I'm worried. I think my girls can die at any minute. And literally, they could have. But there was a certain sense of peace that we would feel in that chapel. So I say that, to put your hope in the Lord. That doesn't mean you do nothing. With Eileen and I, we were doing everything that we possibly could, medically speaking, to help the girls. But you get to a point where you can't do any more. That's where you put your hope in the Lord. And I'm telling you, He will stretch you. He will have you on the edge of that cliff. And you look and you see that one step is going to lead to you plummeting hundreds of feet. But then He appears and says, come on, take that step. Are you willing? It's then that your faith grows. So I just say that because I feel I should say that today. You may be dealing with that. Trust Him. Jesus, I trust in You. Keep saying those words until you start to believe it, because He's not a liar. I promise you, He's not a liar. The gospel comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 53. Jesus said to His disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two, and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This is a tough reading. This is not one of the more easy gospels to hear. It's quite likely you're going to hear this and be unsettled, right? It's not a comfortable gospel. And that's really the effect that Jesus is going for, because He understands that too many times what happens with us is we get desensitized to His message, especially those of us who live 2,000 years after Christ walked the face of the earth, and we look at the message, and yeah, we've heard it before, but that's a great message, but you know what? I've got real problems I have to attend to, and what's going to happen is we'll ignore His message. It's very hard to ignore this one. Even if you try to ignore it, it's going to just keep coming back to you. What is He talking about? He's the Prince of Peace. He's not here to bring peace. He's using hyperbole. It's exaggeration. Again, He's trying to get His listeners' attention, and certainly He gets our attention with this. What does this mean? It means that the truth divides. The truth proclaimed by Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel, you either accept it or you don't. You can't change it. You know, like with some messages, you can water them down. You could say, well, if that's too strong, then let me change it a little bit. Let me water it down so it's easier for you to take. Abortion is murder. Always. Period. That's going to offend some people. It is. Birth control. Prohibited. Not acceptable by the church. And the church has her reasons for that. You're going to offend people with that message. You must, under the pain of mortal sin, unless you're sick or can't get there or taking care of somebody who is sick or needs your attention, you must, as a Catholic, go to Mass on Sunday. Again, especially in today's day and age, that is going to offend people. That's going to divide people. That's going to divide families. And you see this happening a lot. One spouse has a conversion, grows closer to the Lord, starts to take her faith seriously, or his or her faith seriously. The other spouse is offended. What's happening? You know, these things happen. Ultimately, if our priorities are in order, it's not an issue. But it can become an issue when we start to place other people ahead of the Lord. You know, and that's tricky. But be very careful about that. And essentially, the best way I can explain it is if somebody who is in your life starts to tell you that you should commit sins or go against church teachings, then that's not good. That's where you draw the line. I'm not saying your wife says, I need you at home to help me take care of the kids before you go to work, and you say, no, I'm sorry, I'm going to daily Mass. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Your first responsibility is to your family. But you just can't let somebody or something, for that matter, get in the way of your relationship with the Lord, specifically cause you to sin. Very, very important. So again, you're going to make some enemies in life by being a good Christian. Do everything out of love and let the Lord take care of the rest. All right? I'm not saying you don't want to go out and look for arguments, because some people do that. That's wrong. That's not what Jesus is saying. But understand that you will ruffle some feathers by being a Christian. So did Jesus, right? So, again, it's a tough gospel, but it is, he's exaggerating to try to make a point. And he makes it very well, I think. All right, okay, let's, if you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Now, we're going to continue on in the catechism. We talked about natural revelation, or natural knowledge. By our natural abilities, we are able to know that a God exists. We look at the world, we look at the solar system, and it's very probable that a higher being created the planets and nature. And, you know, I mean, and look at the human body, the way the heart works and the brain works and the lungs work. An intelligent person should be able to figure out that this just didn't happen by accident, and that's fine. But now we're going to look at the next level of revelation, the knowledge of God according to the church. Now, in the Catechism, we're on paragraph 36. Our Holy Mother, the Church, holds and teaches that God, the first principle and last end of all things, can be known with certainty from the created world by the natural light of human reason. Now, that's from one of the Vatican II documents. Without this capacity, man would not be able to welcome God's revelation. Man has this capacity because he is created in the image of God. So what this is saying is that because human reason allows us to know that God exists, by what I just said, without divine revelation, with God out revealing anything specifically to us, human reason allows us to know that God exists. Because that is the case, then we can welcome his specific revelation. In other words, now that we accept that it's possible for him to exist, he's going to give us some specific teachings. He's going to reveal himself to us, which is pretty cool, because God, our Heavenly Father, for years, if you look back even into the Old Testament, when you looked at figures such as Abraham and Moses, and before that, Adam and Noah, people like that, God was somewhat more mysterious, and that's why the prophets would often be spoken to by God. They were the go-between. God would speak to the prophets, and then the prophets would speak to the people and tell them what God said. When Jesus Christ came to earth and founded a church, now we get so many more specifics, and we can really intimately know our Lord much better. Okay, in the historical conditions in which he finds himself, man experiences many difficulties in coming to know God by the light of reason alone. So in other words, in order to really get to know God, we need more than human reason, right? Paragraph 38, this is why man stands in need of being enlightened by God's revelation, not only about those things that exceed his understanding, but about those religious and moral truths, which of themselves are not beyond the grasp of human reason, so that even in the present condition of the human race, they can be known by all men with ease, with firm certainty, and with no admixture of error. Well, that's a fancy word there. So again, we're developing this idea that God is going to reveal some specific things to us. How can we speak about God? Paragraph 39, in defending the ability of human reason to know God, the Church is expressing her confidence in the possibility of speaking about him to all men and with all men, and therefore of dialogue with other religions, with philosophy and science, as well as with unbelievers and atheists. Since our knowledge of God is limited, our language about him is equally so. We can name God only by taking creatures as our starting point, and in accordance with our limited human ways of knowing and thinking. So what's happening here is in the catechism, we are learning, the church is explaining that as human beings, we have limited capacity to understand God. And we can understand some things, but we can't understand everything. That's why you'll see in the Old Testament references to God that are that look at him in human terms. In other words, God gets angry, or God loses his patience, or God is surprised, or God changes his mind. That's another good example. God doesn't change. God can't get angry. God can't change his mind. God can't lose his temper. That's the same thing as getting angry. I realize that. But the writers of the Old Testament were inspired to use human terms. It's called anthropomorphism in order to explain God, because we have finite minds. And even Jesus would say things like he said today, that he came to bring division, because he knows that we can't fully understand, and he speaks in terms that we can understand, okay? All creatures bear a certain resemblance to God, most especially man, created in the image and likeness of God. However, paragraph 42 says God transcends all creatures. We must therefore continually purify our language of everything in it that is limited, image-bound, or imperfect, if we are not to confuse our image of God. Our human words always fall short of the mystery of God. Now, this is, again, I've been telling you over the past few days, this is just laying some groundwork. So any words that we can use, even through the church, can use to explain God or help us to understand God, they are limited. We can grasp a little bit, but we will never fully understand God. And I think that's a pretty liberating concept. It helps us to realize that mysteries exist in church teaching. So we will not be able to understand everything about God. Admittedly, in speaking about God like this, our language is using human modes of expression. Nevertheless, it really does attain to God himself, though unable to express him in his infinite simplicity. Likewise, we must recall that between creator and creature, no similitude can be expressed without implying an even greater dissimilitude. Man, these words are too big. And that concerning God, we cannot grasp what he is, but only what he is not, and how other beings stand in relation to him. Okay, in the next paragraph, we're done for now, but we're going to learn how God reveals his plan of loving goodness. This is going to be really powerful stuff. And then we'll go into the stages of revelation. Didn't reveal himself all at once. And if you read throughout the Old Testament, you'll see that he gradually revealed himself to his creatures. I'm telling you, this is powerful stuff. Just hang with me. It's a little fuzzy in the beginning because there is just a general groundwork being laid. God is so powerful and mysterious that we can't grasp everything about him, right? We can only grasp what our limited human intellects can understand. All right, if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com. I think it's time for me to hit the road now. Again, thank you for listening. Please remember the donations. The donations are followingthetruth.com. Click on support and you can help me keep my ministry going. And please keep me in your prayers. It's a bit of a challenge I'm facing right now. But you know what? God is good. God is here. God is always with us. He's with me. He's with you. And he will always be there for us. So I trust that he'll be there for me as well. So please pray for me and I will pray for you. I promise. Remember, I take the day off tomorrow, Friday, and then I'll be back on Monday. Just this week, I'm taking this one day off, all right? Just to take care of some business and celebrate Mary and Elizabeth's birthday. Have a wonderful night. Thanks for listening. And remember, wherever you go today, the Lord is with you. Just turn around and say hi. God bless you. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.